Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going in our series. This is part two of Letter to My Son David, a teaching to aid us on how to excel in life, even in ministry. I want to encourage you to share this with somebody, share this with a friend. Like I always say, when I give instructions, I try to start by leading the instructions as well. So I'll be sharing it as well, and sure you share with your friends so that somebody else can hear about the good news that you are hearing as well. Having done that, we will now pray. We will now pray. Let us pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified, and your name alone is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, we are looking at the teaching letter to my son, David. And this is actually a teaching that whose intention, the intention of this teaching is to aid the saint, right, to know how that he should live. And right, we are looking at through topics like the in the book of Timothy to see how the believer is to live. Let us start off there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We would be reading verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. It says, "These things I write unto you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write." Right? He says, "so that you may know." Listen, very important. "How you ought to conduct yourself." So the first thing you want to understand is when it comes to the Christian faith, how to conduct yourself is not something that you assume. You don't know how to conduct yourself by assumption. You don't know how to conduct yourself by your feelings. You know how to conduct yourself by instructions. It is very, very important. There are a lot of people who believe that, okay, I'm in the Christian faith. I will serve my God like this. I will sing to my God like this. I will do this like this. No. When it comes to the Christian faith, you are instructed. Look at it again. 1 Timothy 3 verse 14. "These things I write unto you, though I hope to come to you, but if I am delayed, I write to you that you may know." You will understand, you will get it, you will know how you ought to conduct yourself. So how to conduct yourself in Christ is a knowledge that must be passed. That's why he's saying, I am not assuming you know how to conduct yourself, right? I am going to instruct you, because instruction is what is needed for the saint to be able to know how to conduct himself. Now, this is very, very important. Look at it. It says, "I write you." So how do people learn? How do people learn the way to go? Instruction. Amen. When they are not instructed, they will live by assumption, right? So he says, "I write to you that you may know, that you may know." So how do people learn proper conduct? By teaching. Now, hold your Bible in 1 Timothy 3 and go to chapter 2. That is why a believer must take Bible study importantly, and his devotion importantly, and coming to church importantly, hearing the word of God importantly. If he doesn't do that, he will before long start to misbehave. Why? He will know. Instruction is what helps us know how to behave. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. I am trying to emphasize a point. You must be taught, right? Very important. You must be instructed before you know how to behave. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. "And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which has made you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let's go to 16. "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, Reproof there will be the word eleko. Eleko there is a Greek word that just simply means to convince a person. To convince a person about the way to go. The way to go is something that a person will be taught. That's the point there. It says, and it is done by the scriptures. It says, for doctrine, which is teaching. It now says, for reproof, which is eleko. E-L-E. C-G-H-O. Eleko, right? That word there will mean... Why am I giving you the Greek word? So you can check it out yourself. That's all. Not to show you that I know it. Right? Eleko, which means to convince a person in the way that he should go. For correction. Epanothosis. Epanothosis is a Greek word that means making someone straight when the person is bent. How do we straighten a person who is bent spiritually? Through the scripture. Are you getting the point? A man doesn't just know what to do by assumption. Epanotosis will be E-P-A-N-T-O-R-S-I-S. It's a state of being straightened when you are bent. Epanotosis. And for instructions in righteousness. I want you to see something in verse 17. That the man of God. Who is the man of God? The believer there. The man of God may be complete and thoroughly furnished, equipped, fit for every good work. Fit for every good work. So what is he saying there? It's saying the word of God is what makes a man that is bent, straightened. A man that needs convincing to be convinced. A man that needs instructing to be instructed. A man that needs correction to be corrected. That he will be fit to do what he ought to do by the word of God. So why are we sharing all of these things? We are sharing these things to say, right? Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy saying that, see, I am not going to assume on your matter. I am going to write to you to tell you the way that you should go. And I'm saying that to say, a man knows the way to go because he's instructed. And so we're going to be looking at some things tonight that is something that there are things that are important. I'll be looking at two things today, if time permits me, are important to excel as a Christian. Now, this is very, very important to excel as a Christian. Now, I'm talking to the Christian. Who is the Christian? The man that has believed the gospel. The man that has received eternal life. The man who knows the love of God. Right? The man who is a son of God. The man that is an ambassador of Christ. The man that is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The man that is holy and blameless. The man that is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. This is the man we are trying to instruct today. And so we're going to be looking at a couple of things that he should, that will aid him, right, in being successful in his walk. And the first one is faithfulness. I want you to write that down. Faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of God. How should you see yourself? You see yourself as a servant of God. I'll say it again. How should you see yourself? You should see yourself as a servant of God. It says, and steward. Do you know what a steward is? A steward is someone that is put in charge of something to use it to serve other people. Amen. A steward of the mysteries of God. How should I see myself? I must see myself as a servant. So what is required of servants? That's what we're saying. These things I'm sharing with you today sometimes becomes the difference between one believer and the other believer. Right? Amen. It becomes the difference between one believer and the other believer. And that's why they're quite important. Amen. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one must be found faithful. Now, this is very important. It says, you know, people sometimes say, you know, I'm under grace. I say this a lot of times now, so people know where I'm going to with a lot of things like this. I'm under grace. I can act anyhow. Brother, not particularly. It says it is required of stewards. Who are stewards? The man that has believed is a servant of Christ. The man that has believed is a steward. He is a custodian of the grace, the power, the truth of God's word. He is a steward. It says he is to be found faithful. You know, this is a requirement. Faithfulness. So therefore, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness will be doing that which is put in your hands the best way you can, passionately, dedicatedly, excitedly, right? That is what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is doing what you are, you know, doing what, let me finish the thought, doing what you are given to do with all that you have. Giving, I'm going to show you faithfulness in two dimensions. As a believer, in terms of what is given to you to do, and as a believer, as a minister. Very important. Because this issue of faithfulness is key. It says there that it is required. You know, a lot of people, let me go back, that's what I wanted to say. A lot of people actually do well when they are appointed as leaders. People do well when maybe there are more people they are in charge of. People seem to be faithful when maybe there are a lot of people to cheer them on. But the Bible says that as long as you are a steward, if they put something that no one will ever notice, I'm just trying to make my point, as something as changing the wall clock on a particular wall, you do it faithfully, like that is the most important thing to do. It said it is required among stewards that we are found faithful. Right? And you see, faithfulness is a trait that you establish, understanding that it's within you, as understanding that it's within you. When you receive the gospel, you receive faithfulness as part of the trait in the gospel. How do we know? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I will start to read from verse 22. For the fruit, you know, a fruit is because we have a root. We have fruits because there was a seed. When I got born again, when you got born again, you received the Holy Ghost. That is the seed. Then that seed produces fruits. Does that make sense if you did agriculture? It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are character traits in the resurrection. I'll say it again. Love. So the fruit of the Spirit is actually love. In love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are other things we'll look at on some other days. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It is there. Faithfulness, gentleness, selfishness, self-control. Look at it. It says it there, our point, verse 22. Faithfulness. Just the way you received love in the resurrection, you receive the ability to be faithful. Please write it down that you are faithful. You're a faithful steward. Whatever is put in your hands, right, you do it with all that you have. Right? Just look at the character that is expected of you. It is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. To who? As to the Lord. Right? I want you to mark that down. As to the Lord. Why are you faithful? Your faithfulness is unto the Lord. Not unto your cell leader. Not unto your prayer coordinator. Not unto your pastor. Unto the Lord. We submit to these people because of the Lord. Are you getting it? As unto the Lord. Faithfulness becomes intact when the reason why you are doing what you are doing is Jesus. Right? People can be fickle. People can come today and go tomorrow. People can be good today, they can be bad tomorrow. People can praise you today, they can insult you tomorrow. But that can affect you. But as long as what you are doing is to the Lord. Look at it. It says in verse 23, very important. And whatsoever you do, so there is doing in Christ. We are just saying that this doing is heartily, meaning you do it with your heart, you do it with your mind, and you are doing it as to the Lord and not to men. Now, it's so instructive, you write it there, that your activity, your faithfulness should not be man-conscious or man-driven. The moment it is man-conscious or man-driven, it becomes topsy-turvy. Reason, it's saying here, topsy-turvy means up and down. We are saying here that heartily to the Lord. Many people will do better if the focus of their service and faithfulness is God and not man. Amen. And that's why you would see over in the verses above, you would see verse 22, for example, is saying, bond servants, obey in all your things your masters. I mean, Colossians 3:22, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or men pleasers. You see, so that's the tendency that men have. The tendency that men have is to do eye service, that is to please men. But God is saying to us, I hope you are learning the instruction, the way in our kingdom is that we do things heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. It's very important. Why? It says that we do things heartily, not unto men, but unto the Lord. Very, very important. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 again. Because this is a requirement. Doing that which is given to you with all that you have, as unto, doing it unto the Lord, not unto men. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness. Doing what you say you do, being there to do what you do. Right? Amen. We're going to see another side of faithfulness now, very shortly. Look at verse 2 again. Moreover, it is required. Write it down. In my service to the Lord, faithfulness is a requirement. Amen. You know, a believer is the one that is chief in discipline. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Look at it there. It is required. It's a requirement. And it's already within you. So it is just manifesting the faithfulness that was given to thee in the resurrection. Do you know that God is faithful? Let me show you that God is faithful. 2 Corinthians, right, the scripture has actually skipped my mind, right? Everything, in fact, you know, is also in the book of Timothy. Says he's faithful, he cannot deny himself. But let's go on because of our time. Let's go on because of our time. I don't want to go into this anymore, right? Let's go into the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Because there are some things I need to cover up on verse 11. Verse 11. It's important here. Faithfulness is a requirement. Amen. He's faithful. Look at verse 11. Okay. Look, let's read it from verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least. You see the thing there. It's important you see this. You know, people always say things like, when I become this, when things get better for me, when this, I will that. See how the Bible describes faithfulness. Because faithfulness is a character trait, not a something that happens to you because your situation changes. Amen. It's a character trait that you exhibit because you are now doing things unto the Lord. Look at it in verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in that which is much. He who is unjust in that which is least is also unjust in that which is much. 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful, I'm talking about the principle of faithfulness here. He says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto you through riches, right? And if you have not been faithful in another man's, who would give unto you what is his own, right? So my point there is, faithfulness is a character trait. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 again. It says, it is required among stewards that they be found faithful. So it's a requirement. Now let's look at how Paul speaks to Timothy about faithfulness. Very important. Look at the book. Look at the book of Timothy. We are going to be sharing from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. So we are looking at something here. We are saying that as a believer, that one that is born again, that is an ambassador, that is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that is holy, that is blameless, that is sealed with the Spirit, that is forgiven, that is accepted in the beloved, that man is a faithful man. Faithfulness is a character trait in the resurrection. Right? And so we have seen different ways, different things we have heard about faithfulness. And now we are now seeing Paul instruct Timothy about faithfulness, another type in ministry. Look at it now. He says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me, commit. I want you to be there. Are you there? And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit unto faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So what does it mean to be a faithful man? Or let's break it down. Who does the pastor, the minister, who does he spend a lot of time with? Faithful men. What is the trait that you find in faithful men when they are taught? This is important. You can read there. Faithful men will hear that which is taught. They will not keep it to themselves. They will share with another. So in God, in ministry, in the things pertaining to God, you are a faithful man, as it were. You actually practice faithfulness in that you take the things that you have heard and then you share with others. My question, look at it again. And these things that you have heard from me amongst many witnesses. This is how the gospel spreads. The gospel spreads. Write it down. The gospel spreads on the shoulders of faithful men. What does that mean? The gospel spreads on the shoulders of faithful men, in that faithful men, when they hear the gospel, they do not stop with that which was taught them. They share with other people. I want you to see this because it's very, very important. It's very important. Praise God. It's very important. Right? That's why, look at the ministry of Jesus. There's a pattern there. Jesus will share with the 5,000. He will teach many people. But you see that he will have a 12 that he will select. You see that he will have a 3 that he will deal with. And he will communicate things to these people. Right? We always say, the minister would, by virtue of nature, really, the minister will spend time with faithful men. While others are growing and he's teaching them, he will dedicate more time to train faithful men, because the faithful man is the one that will multiply the message he has heard to others. This is very, very crucial. The faithful man will share that which he has heard with others, meaning that there is a responsibility that you have in hearing the gospel. The responsibility that you have in hearing the gospel is that you share it with other men. Look at it again. Verse 2. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. Commit these to faithful men who will be apt, able to teach others. Amen. Amen. We commit them to faithful men. So the truth about it is that if you understand what this is going saying, how will Paul reach the city of Ephesus? Paul will reach Timothy. Timothy will reach faithful men. Faithful men will reach other faithful men. Ephesus will be one. Why are we saying Ephesus? Because Timothy was the pastor or the lead pastor of churches in Ephesus. Now, his father in the faith is Paul. Paul's mind is to reach every single soul in Ephesus. Paul sends a faithful man to Ephesus. The faithful man he sends to Ephesus is Timothy. For Paul teaches Timothy everything that he knows. He keeps right. That's why you see letters to Timothy. He's teaching Timothy. Are you hearing what is going on now? The intent of the teaching is that Timothy, being a faithful man, will now share this with other faithful men. Now, these faithful men that Timothy will share with will be people who will hear this message and share it with other faithful men. In this sharing arithmetic, Ephesus is one. How will God win London, UK, Europe, America, Asia, Antarctica, wherever human beings walk? It will be faithful man, faithful men. Faithful men. You get it? One man. How does sound doctrine spread around the world? How does right teaching cover wrong teaching? One man. That is why, as a believer, you must understand that in your days, you have a responsibility. You are a faithful man. One man who share with another man, who will share with another man, who will share with another man. People always wonder that, I want to have many men. No. Share with a faithful man, who will share with another faithful man, who will share with another faithful man. The truth about it is, every church grows when there are many faithful men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. My instruction, my direction, my correction, my reproof to you is, be a faithful man in your local church. Right? I've given you a very, very condensed Church Growth International seminar. Faithful men grow churches. That's what it is. Because it's God's pattern, it's God's style, God's modus operandi. One man, and he teaches another man, who teaches another man, who teaches a group of men. Those ones teach other people. That's how the gospel spreads, right? That's how the message goes on. So are you that brother that has one disciple? Keep teaching that one disciple. And as you teach that one disciple, ensure that you are encouraging him to teach other people. And as those ones are being taught, encourage the encourager. So the encourager will encourage the encourager. You get the point. Everyone is encouraged to keep speaking to other people. That's how this thing grows. We have a message of life. We have a message to share. Don't be ashamed of that one man. As long as that man is a faithful man. Keep at it. Dear brother, you just started a fellowship. Dear sister, you just started a walk. Do you have one man? Yes, one man. Teach him. That faithful man will teach another man, and another man, another man. That is how the gospel grows. Amen. The gospel grows on the shoulders of faithful men. Somebody that is actively doing something about the message that he has heard. Amen. And the encouragement to you is, faithfulness is not a grace that people say, I covet the grace of faithfulness to come on me. Faithfulness is an action, a decision, an intentional action to in seeing that this that is being committed to me, my trust, is quite important. Amen. Paul will say, the reason that I do what I do is because I know Jesus committed the message to me. So I must commit it to others. Who is Paul? A faithful man. Let me show you how Paul spoke about this thing. Right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. What are we dealing with today? This issue of faithfulness. Right? Are you a faithful man? You say, yes, I'm a faithful man. You don't declare you're a faithful man because you are faithful presently. You declare you're a faithful man because the Bible says you're a faithful man, then you act it out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter. I want you to write it all over. Write all over your wall. Write it everywhere. I am a faithful man. It means whatever I'm told, whatever I'm given to do, I do it well. The gospel that is given to me, I spread with others. Whatever little or big assignment I'm giving, I do it with all my mind. I am a faithful man. I received faithfulness in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Right? It says in verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me. You see, it's a responsibility to this guy. This guy is even cursing himself. He says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Are you seeing it now? This same thing we heard about in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. It is required of stewards to be faithful. So this man knew that God shared the message with Paul. Paul is to share with Timothy. Timothy is to share with the guys in Ephesus, right? The guys in Ephesus share with other guys in Ephesus. Who did God have in mind? All of the Ephesians. Who did God have in mind? All of the Colossians. How will he do it? Through that one man, Paul, who would actually talk to Timothy. Who Timothy would talk to? All the other guys. And that's how the message spreads. Amen. Praise God. You're going to say, I am faithful. So the point we are sharing with ourselves today, the first point we are sharing with ourselves today in the first half of this teaching is faithfulness. Faithfulness, praise God, hallelujah, amen. And now, the next thing I will share with you as it relates to, you know, we're talking about letter to my son, David, and secrets on excelling in life. The next thing we're going to talk about is, write that down. The first one is faithfulness. The second one is don't neglect the gift. Very important, don't neglect the gift. Let's go to the Bible. 1 Corinthians. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to be there in verse 12. Right? I'm going to verse 14, but I'm going to stay in verse 12. I hope I'll be able to cover this tonight. Look at... So this is Paul talking to Timothy. Just like Dio, he's talking to his son David. Look at it. Look at verse 12. Let no man despise your youth. So definitely, Timothy, that Paul was writing to, was a young man, maybe 21, and was a pastor. He was the bishop in Ephesus. So he says to them, let no man despise thy youth. Brother, you are not too young to be a steward. You are not too young to be faithful. You're not. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to the believers. What is the believer at every level called to be? The believer at every level, write this down. The believer at every level is called to be an example. So there is no believer that is not meant to be an example. What? Let me show you. How is it? Let me show you the hierarchical structure. Jesus is our example. 1 Peter 2. Let me show you. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, right? Okay, look at verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. So Christ is an example. In fact, that place is saying Christ is our example of behavior. It now relates to marriage, if you read it down. So how does it start off? Christ is the example. Is the example that who looks at, that the ministers, the leaders look at, so that they are examples. Who else is an example? We say the ministers. Look at First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. It says in verse 2, shepherd of the flock of God, which is amongst you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not of dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock, right? Okay, so we see the next cadre of examples. We see the minister is an example. So in this kingdom, just like we pass the gospel from, you see, God to a minister to faithful men, a faithful man to other faithful men. It is the same thing with examples. So write it down. As a believer, I am an example. We must understand as believers that we are being observed. A lot of people think, you know, in this Christian walk, it's just me, it's my life, it's me and God. No. Right? You are to be an example. Example. That's why when Jesus was talking to the Jews in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he will say, let your light so shine for God. No. He says, let your light so shine before men. God does not need your light. God is light. Your light shining before men is to be an example that they may see your good works. Are you getting it? And glorify God that is in heaven. So the point is this. The point is, at every level, no matter who you are, there is a cadre of example. The first example we find is Jesus our Lord, who sacrificed his life, showing us an example of sacrifice. Then you see the minister, the pastor is called to a life of example. Not trying to fleece the flock, not trying to steal from them, but by being an example to them in doctrine and in character. So when I see how my pastor does, as long as he's following the word, I find a good example to follow. So you see Peter, Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? You see, so very, very interesting. So there's an example, Jesus. Then we have ministers as examples who are called to be examples, as I showed you in 1 5. Now we are looking at this book of Timothy as a book to you, a believer. And we are saying, it says, you are to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct. You know, I've always said this. This whole, I can live anyhow I like, it's not true. People are just not reading the word of God. It's not true. They are just taking the one they want to take. There is an example in conduct, because you understand that this kingdom is run by good examples. People know what you do by observing what you do. So don't listen. One of the ways that we all can globally, locally correct bad behavior is being good examples. We in your local church, we need more good examples. Good examples of men of prayer. Good examples of men of the word. Good examples of men of faith. You are not shy about it. Good example of men of the spirit. Men of tongues and interpretation. Men of the word of knowledge, healing, the gifts of healing. Good examples of acting the things of the spirit. Good examples of the love walk. We depersipo prakatizos, reventis fegdosius, berektizos vedekato tadujus, elegdumana katadvi. So what is this saying to us? This saying is that there is a charge, there is a call. There's a call, there's a call, there's a call. There's a call to men and a call to women. A call to men, a call to women, a call to men and women, a call of to being an example. How will you be an example? It's by laying hold of these very same things that you hear. Laying hold of the resurrection. Laying hold of the conduct within the resurrection. Not laying hold and focusing on your inabilities. Not focusing on your weaknesses. Focusing on his abilities within you. For they are ability of God is at work in you. And so like Peter, like Paul, you would say, I would glory in my infirmities. For when I glory in my infirmities, your grace is made available. Okay, so I'm saying that to say that there's someone that is most likely listening to me right now that feels that is inadequate. You're not good enough. You feel like you are not the people we are talking about, as it seems like maybe there is a sign type of people we are talking about that is not you. Oh, you are no. When they're talking about examples, not you. That's not the Bible is saying that I should correct you, or the word of God is saying I should correct you tonight. That the way around being an example is to just put your focus on the word, put your focus on the name, on the power that is in that name. Let's look at what it says here. Look at it. Let no man despise you, but be an example of believers in the word, in conduct, in love. We are in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. In spirit, in faith, in purity. How would you do that? One of the things I like about the Bible is that the Bible never ever says you should do something without showing you how. You may argue with your how. You may say, I don't think this will work. That's your personal business. The Bible will still tell you how it will work. So look at verse 13. Till I come. So how will you be an example? Till I come. Give attention to reading. So the man that will be an example is not just one that will just say, okay, as from today, I'll be an example. That doesn't work. That's a good start, but that's not what makes it work. Because in this kingdom, renewal of the mind comes from revelation. Amen. Right? So it says, till I come, give attention to reading. I mean, exhortation. I mean doctrine, till I come. So how will my behavior change? Not particularly focusing on my behavior. How will I become an example? Not particularly shouting, I must be an example, I must be an example. No, I will give, are you hearing, attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. So the message of the gospel is what changes you. You will give attention to it, my son. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Attend to my words. Incline thy ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy heart. From the eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. It is life to them that find it. It is health to all their flesh. You will be the one to give attention. It is the same thing here. Paul is telling Timothy. Till I come, give attention to reading. Are you reading? Are you one that gives yourself to reading the word? One, spending time there. Do you have people? Are you one that has a minister that is able to break down the word to him? Who teaches the word? Are you at Bible study meetings? Are you at Sunday services or whenever services happen in your country? Do you give yourself to teaching? Because people always think, no, this doctrine thing is boring. No, doctrine fuels the way a man behaves. In fact, if a man does not know doctrine, his worship will be wrong, meaning his behavior will be wrong. Amen. Praise God. Let's see that. Let's see what Jesus says about this. If your doctrine is wrong, your behavior will be wrong. If your doctrine is wrong, your behavior will be wrong. So Jesus will say to the people that teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. He says, in vain do they worship me. That's what Jesus said. In vain do they worship me. These people are worshiping me in vain. These people, they honor me with their lips. Matthew 15 verse 8. Look at verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth. Are you there? And honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me. Can a man's worship be in vain? Yes. How? That is why when you find a man saying, I'm not interested in this teaching, you'll just be teaching. Watch that man's attitude. Watch that man's way. Watch that man's belief system. Right? Watch it. In vain do they worship me. Teaching for doctrine, the commandment of men. So when they were teaching for doctrine, the commandment of men, the behavior of men was in vain. That behavior is what is called worship. Because man actually changes based on what he hears. So Paul will tell Timothy, listen, I want you, don't let anybody despise your youth, but I want you to be an example. Right? So write it. I'm an example. How would you be an example? Till I come, give attention to reading. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Right? This reading thing is very important. Ephesians 3 verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me. You see how God's ways is? God shows one shows others, who show others. Amen. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I briefly written already. How even did the Bible get to us? Paul was the one that wrote to Timothy many years ago. Timothy shares this letter with others. who shared the letter with others, who shared the letters with others till it got to you. Right? That's why you cannot afford to be quiet. Let's continue anyway. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand. That word read there is the word anaginosko. A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Why am I sharing this Greek word with you intentionally? I want you to engage more study. Write it down. Go and check it. How do you know I'm not lying? How do you know I'm not just saying anything? I go say, Baba B. You go, no. Write it down. Check it. Be a little diligent. Let this Christian thing mean something to you. Amen. Let it mean something to you. It's eternal life we are trading here. Amen. Anaginosko means to read, to investigate, to search it out. He says, when you read the anaginosko, Anna is talking about over and over and over and over again. Ginosko. Amen. Amen. When you read, you will understand. And when you understand, the rest is a piece of work. Do you know that a lot of people, what they actually spend time struggling with in their earthly work in ministry is just lack of reading and understanding? I'm telling you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Amen. That is why Paul will tell his boy, study to show yourself approved. Study so you are not stupid. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Don't let anybody make you think that studying is just one of the... No, study. So he says, when you read, look at it there. It's there. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. That mystery is what? That hidden thing concerning Christ. He is no longer hidden. It's now written down. So it's for when you... Do you know the reason why we pray that the eyes of people's understanding will be enlightened? One of the reasons we do that is so that people can at least start reading. Because revelation knowledge does not come to you till you start to read and hear. Amen. The Bible says it. No, nobody will break your head, open it and put it inside. When you read, you will understand the knowledge. When you read, you know, like I always share this with a lot of people. Many, many years when I got born again, right, I just thought, just like everybody thought, that, you know, healing was for a few people. I thought getting people healed was just something that was for a few people. Then I started to read. Bro, I saw it there in Luke 10. I know the scriptures. I saw it in Luke 10 verse 1. I saw it in Luke 10, 17, 19. I saw it in Luke 9 verse 1. I saw it in Matthew 10. I saw it in Luke 4 verse 40. I saw that Jesus Christ gave power and Jesus Christ was healing all. I saw it in Mark 16 verse 15. I saw it clearly that he said he gave them power to heal all. I said, okay, it seems like this God Jesus gave them power to heal all. You know, before then I used to pray to God to tell him to come and heal people. That was the last day I prayed to God. When I want to get cancer healed, I tell cancer to go. Before, I would say, God, in your mighty hand, in your gracious God, can you come and do a wonder here? And then, paraventure, by mistake, we just miss a mark. And sometimes healing can happen. But we are better at it now. Right? You know, just we're sharing, right? Somebody, I'm just saying this because I'm just saying it. Someone reached out on Facebook and said, I've got diabetes as a problem. I said, that's the problem. Yeah, because in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm bigger than diabetes. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, diabetes be gone right now in Jesus' name. And I left it there, forgot it there. We got a message from him, right? Diabetes is gone. The doctor said it's gone. Do you know what I could have done 10 years or 15, no, not 10 years, 17 years ago? I would have said, you have diabetes. Let's ask God. What is he going to do? Can God be mighty here? But I didn't talk to God about God being mighty. I just said, I took authority over diabetes in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I know. Are you getting it? I know. When ye read, you will know. When you know and understand the mystery, the rest. So the rest is history. Right? When you understand, when you read, you understand the mystery, the rest is history. Like that. So the point is, if you don't read, you will struggle as others are struggling, and you will think it is God's will. When you read, you will know. You will know the mystery of Christ. You will know it when you read. So give attention to reading, bro. Amen. No. No. Right? Okay, let's go back to that same Timothy. I don't want to talk about gifts, but you see, what do you call it, is almost taking over from here now. Look at 2 Timothy, right? Verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Be diligent, study to show yourself approved. A workman. Why are there a lot of ministers defrauding a lot of believers today? Believers are too lazy to read. Why was it that the Berean Christians in Acts 17 believed the gospel? They heard Paul. They went to investigate what Paul said. They saw it was true. They believed. Why are people being hoodwinked today? Why? It is because men will not read. So because they will not read what is in the Bible, anybody can come and tell them what may not be there. Look at it there. Look at it again. It says in verse 15, study to show yourself. So study so you are not stupid. Study so somebody is not actually asking you to do some funny things. Study to show yourself approved. Approved. A worker that needs not to be ashamed. Study so shame will not envelop you. Study rightly dividing the word of truth. It tells you there. It tells you there. Oh God. Look at. Okay. Then you see Paul, who was telling people to study. That's why I like the Bible. There is no instruction that is given to the minister, believer, or brother that the person giving it does not lead. Right? So look at 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse 13. This is Paul. This book, 2 Timothy, Paul is about to die. What is Paul still doing with book? So he has a so he's telling Timothy, look at verse 13. And the cloak, that's clothes, that's his Gucci wears. Amen. Praise God. His Adidas tracksuit. And the cloak that I left with Carpos at trials when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. He says, bro, bring the books. Oh. Bring my clothes, yes, but bring the books, especially the parchments, to tell you that the written, the things, the words, the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophets. He said, bring it for me. Bring it. This man in this chapter was already telling Paul, was telling his son already, I'm about to die. I will soon die. They are laid up for me. Look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy 4. When will you stop reading? When you die. Are you hearing me? That's when you stop reading. Look at 2 Timothy 4. That same place. This guy has already said in verse 6, for I'm already ready to be poured out as a drink offering. Meaning he's saying I'm ready to die. Right? He even tells you, for my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight of faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This guy is telling his son in the faith, bro, I am about to die. But he still tells him in verse 13, bring my books. Especially the parchment. Bro, read. When you read Ephesians 3, you may understand. That is how to be an example. So as you read doctrine, as you read the teachings of the gospel, as you have a minister explaining to you, take doctrine importantly. Don't just be that kind of person when with Bible study is going on, is the preacher is preaching on Sunday, you are whistling in your brain, you're on your phone, you are typing, texting somebody about your holiday trip. Don't be reckless with your life and destiny. It's important. It's important. Spiritual truths are treasures. Don't be around these things and be reckless around them. When you read, so have times of devotion. Spend time. Don't say, I'm very busy, I'm very, very busy, I'm very, very busy. How long do you want to be busy and stupid? You get the point? Because if you don't read, you'll be stupid. If you don't read, you will not know. So what do you want to do? You would read. Schedule it. The way life is, the way life is treating you. No, bro. You will schedule what is important. And it's, you will schedule it. You will cut down on some things to embrace some things. Yeah, that's what you do. You will. Why? It's important. It's important. Don't live emergency life until maybe life is pursuing you. You don't know what to do with life. You are confused. Then you'll not be waking up at 2:30 at 3 a.m. Now start shouting and disturbing the neighbors. No. Find proper structure. Plan your life. plan your spiritual life. Give time to reading. Give time to study. Give time to prayer. You know, you might have to cut down on some things. Amen. Just to be able to do something so that you are just not stupid. Stupidity does not look good on you as a believer. I'm telling you, we are the one looking at you. It doesn't look good on you. Amen. Read. Praise the Lord. Well, that was just on the outside. That's not where I'm going to. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hey, but it's part of it anyway. My son David, read. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. We'll continue with that next week, but look at verse 14. 1 Timothy 4. We are in verse 13. We are going to verse 14. But look at verse 13. Till I come. Meaning this is what you do, that you continually do. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. This is what I was going to teach on verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that, look at it, that is in you, which was given by prophecy. This is powerful. Which was given by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the elders. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let me help you with this one. Can a believer be gifted and he neglects the gift? It will shock you. Yes. What is the word gift there? The word gift there is the word charisma. This is divine ability. You know why this thing is painful? Because imagine being a petrol tanker. You're a petrol tanker, meaning that your job description is to supply others fuel, and then you run out of fuel in your own very tank. You know, petrol tankers have a tank with fuel, then they have the car's tank. So the petrol, the petrol car is a car with a tank that is full of fuel. Then the car itself has its own tank that runs it. Imagine that kind of car running out of fuel when the tank is full of fuel. I am saying a believer can be full of the power and the ability of God, and he will live like a beggar on the earth, be trampled. He will not do the work of ministry. He will be deceived. He will be... And that's why Paul would write to Timothy and say, neglect no. Let me tell you something. Let me give you the trick here. Let me troubleshoot your mind to help you. Right, let's break it down. Number one, neglect not the gift. Number two, giving to you. Number three, by prophecy. Number four, with the laying on of hands of the elders. Number five, let's troubleshoot this again. This is important. What are you not to do? Neglect not. So the thing about it is that the gift is something that can be ignored or neglected. You will be the one. I hope you're hearing. Open your ears. So it's not something obvious that be like, hey, I'm here. I'm a gift. Use me. No. It is so almost latent. It's there, but it can go without being used. That's the point. Oh my time, Jesus Christ! I need to emphasize this point. It says, it was given to you by prophecy when the leaders laid hands on you. Let me say something to you. Are you in a local church? Have you, they say, no, but you know, man, others, they have gift. I don't have. Are you in a local church? And in that local church, by any hook or crook, the minister, the leaders have at one point in time or the other spoken words of prophecy over you and laid hands on you. My brother, my sister, there is something in you. You are in this category. But you know what? He says you don't neglect it. You know what? You don't neglect it. So you can neglect it. Like in the local church that I pastor, from time to time, I lay hands on the saints. I speak words of prophecy over them. None of them can say they don't have abilities, divine abilities transferred, activated in them by being there. The only thing they can do is they can neglect it. They can. It now says, don't neglect it. So the first thing is to realize that divine ability is within. I will not now neglect it. Let me give you a secret and a truth. right, that was given to me many years ago on how to see the divine abilities and deposits on the inside of you emerge. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Divine ability. Let's conclude. It's too much. There's no time for. Verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to look at verse 6. Stir up. Are you seeing it again? Stir up. He wrote him in chapter 1. Or rather, he wrote him in book 1. 1 Timothy book 1. He wrote about it. He said, don't neglect it. When he's writing him again, he's about to die. He tells him, therefore, I remind you. Why? Because most times believers feel inadequate, not knowing that they are just being neglecting. Ability for most of the things that the believer wants is within, but the believer always thinks is inadequate. So the man of God over him must always remind him that, bro, you are actually a charismatic brother. You've got the ability of God on the inside of you. You've got the power of God on the inside of you. You've got the, what this thing that you think you are dealing with, there is ability. You are the one that is neglecting this thing. So he now tells him again, Paul, why will Paul talk to him in the first book about this gift, says to him, don't neglect it. And in the second book, he tells him again, I am reminding you again. Why? Because, and in this second Timothy, Paul was about to die. Because Paul knew, bro, I have laid hands on you. I've spoken over you. All that you need to fire all through is in there. But what are you going to do? Is there in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you. So what is a good pastor to always remind his son? His ministers, his disciples. What should you remind yourselves? You know, you should have stir-up meetings, stir-up parties. Eh? Therefore, because when the gift is operating, when you are stirred up, when you are not neglecting the gift, you are able to be a blessing to others and even yourself. Stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Bro, this guy is saying, hands were laid on you. You are not who you think you are. But it's not, see, the charismatic is not something that is always dancing up and down. I'm here, I'm anointed. No. There's power. There is not that your belly will be moving bru. No. It's there. You will believe it by faith. They lay hands on you. You say, when they lay hands on me in my own church, me, I did not fall, I did not roll, I did not say shiriba. No. As long as they laid hands on you, as long as words were spoken over you, divine energy has been communicated. And what are you going to do? You will stir up that gift on the inside of you. It says, how would you stir it up? You will give yourself to the word and prayer. So you will stir it up. Beve to sakata. Give yourself to praying consistently as a lifestyle. Pray and stir this thing up. Don't neglect the abilities of God. Amen. I closed with this tonight. Many years ago, my pastor laid hands on me, right? Maybe 12 years ago. And he said, how is the gift of God on the inside of you doing? I said, what are you talking about? He said, don't you know that you've got the abilities of God? And he was counting. I said, hey. And I said, how will I see these things? He said, stir it up. Is this something I'm telling you tonight? Stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. I'm saying to you that you are bigger than you know. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Give expression to the things of the Spirit. Don't actually see yourself as a weakling, because you are not. My son David, stir up yourself in the Holy Ghost. Stir it up. Stir it up. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. The brother that is in fear. There is something bigger than fear on the inside of you. But will you share that ability off? A lot of believers are living in fear today. But there is something on the inside of them that is bigger than fear. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. There is dunamis, miraculous power in its nature. It says he has given you power, love, and a sound mind. As we conclude tonight, I want to let you know that you are more than who you say you are. I want to beg you, don't neglect the gift of God that is already inside, on the inside of you. Praise God. Stir up yourself. Till we come your way again next time, to my son David, stir up yourself and stay faithful. God bless you. Amen. Give yourself to reading too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.